I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Rome and Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM.
All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, then, first of all, we start off at Deepwater.
Yes, which is just out of Glen Innes.
That's right. At the Longhorn Hotel, where I chat with Angela.
Yep. And then we chat with Diane, who's a solo traveller at the Cutting Horse Farm Stay.
That's right. You chatted with the lady that owned it last week.
Yes, that's correct.
And from there, we go to Mundi Mundi, and I chat with Jim Smith from Jim's Mobile Bakery.
Yes. And then you chat to Jeff Diath, and this week's subject is American Utes versus Trucks.
Very important subject. A lot of people think they buy a big ute and they've got all their problems solved. Not necessarily
no.
So. So, Lynn, apart from all these fabulous chats, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think? On with the show.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here, and we're at Deepwater, which is about halfway between Glen Innes and Tenterfield at the Longhorn Hotel. And we are chatting today with Angela. How are you today, my dear?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, tell us all about this great iconic hotel, Angela.
Well, it has a lot of history. It's about over 150 years old.
Right.
It's got the old lock-up cells back in Common Cay Day.
Right.
And got about 11 rooms for accommodation.
Fantastic.
Free camping, except for the powered sites. They're okay. About $15 a night.
Okay. So how many powered sites do you have for caravanners?
I think there's about five up there,
okay.
Maybe more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got about five powered sites approximately. It's a very large area. If you didn't need power and you had a caravan or a camper trailer, you can still stay for free as long as you don't use power.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic. Yep. And it's such a big area, so if you've only got six powered sites, you'd have four or five times that for camping sites.
That's
easily.
Right, yep.
Easily.
Yep.
So that's great. Now, if they want to stay for free, they only allowed to stay a day. Can they stay a couple of days? How does it work?
Yeah, they can stay a couple of days.
Okay.
They want to, yeah.
Okay. Because it's a good location. It's right in the middle of Tenterfield and Glen Innes.
Yep.
So it's a great place to come and visit, listeners. Now, I understand you're really, really famous for some of the cooking that you do, because you're in charge of the kitchen, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about some of the great food you serve here.
The pizzas are the winners.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone seems to like them a lot.
Okay.
And the Boomer Burger.
A Boomer Burger?
Try it if you dare.
Okay, so try it if you dare. That's a bit of a challenge, I've got to tell you. There's a lot of listeners that like challenges. What is a Boomer Burger?
Well, it's doubled up on everything. So you've got your lettuce, tomato, cheese, beetroot, then you've got meat patty, cheese again, bacon, meat patty, cheese and bacon, steak, mushroom, onion jam, and a special sauce goes on the top.
Okay, so look, I've got to tell you, I'm trying to picture this in my mind. This burger would stand about, 6-8 inches from the plate to the top, do you think?
It's pretty tall.
It's a pretty tall
two
sort
people,
of burger.
Yeah, two people could eat it
together. A real two people thing, isn't it? Do you ever get cowboys come in here? Because I know you've got a cowboy burger and you've got the dude burger. So do you ever get any locals come in here and go, oh, I'll take on that challenge?
Yes, we do, and they don't seem to follow through.
So they don't manage to get through it. It's definitely a two-person burger.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Now, what about these pizzas? Because I understand they're award-winning.
Yes, so they say, yes.
She doesn't. Listeners, she's a little
bit
modest.
They want me recipes.
Well, you can tell us what's on a few of them if you like. What are the most popular ones?
There's the Mexican one.
Okay.
Which is like a meat lover mix that I make up myself, and it's got special Mexican herbs on it.
Uh-huh.
And then I top it with the cheese, and then I put the sour cream, salsa, and jalapenos around it.
Okay.
And corn chips.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's popular.
Oh, my goodness. We had pizza yesterday, and it was delicious. That was at another place. I think we might try a pizza here for lunch. What do you think, Lynn? So how long have you been here? Like, you're the new licensees, I understand, of this particular. So how long have you been here so far?
About 8 months this month we've been here.
Okay, and so, where did you come from?
South Coast.
South Coast. Yes. So why from the South Coast? Because this is almost like being out in the bush, really, isn't it? Even though you're so close to Glen Innes and Tenterfield, it's nothing like the coast.
Yeah.
Made you want to change?
Well, we just thought we'd try something different.
Okay.
Yeah. So take the risk and...
Yeah. I mean, you've took on a big lease, so you're going to be here for quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what else goes on? Because we had a look in the hotel. We noticed you've got a stage area there, so you have entertainment for the guests as well?
Yeah, we do bands. We're going to look at having them every Saturday night.
Okay.
So we're looking into doing that soon.
Right.
And today we've got the Yubby races.
That's right.
Yeah, and two up and...
Fantastic, because we're recording this, listeners, on Anzac Day. So you got Yabby Races, two up, you got Big Bill. Now, apparently Big Bill's a bit of a Rodney Roode type or a Kevin Bloody Wilson entertainer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he a local character here, Big Bill?
Emmerville is from,
Emmerville, okay, so that's not far from here either.
Yeah.
And he's a regular here, he's a regular entertainer.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic stuff. Look, I think it's. I think you've got a wonderful amount of potential here with this great hotel. You're also pet friendly.
Yes.
Which is a big plus because a lot of travellers like to bring their pets. Are there any rules with the pets? Or they just have to be on a lead?
Yeah. When they're around, they do come into the bar and things.
They can come into the bar?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Right.
See, that's a first because normally the pets... Pet-friendly places, they have to be on a lead, they have to be outside.
Yeah, for medical, like people have them for medical reasons, they need their pet.
Yep.
Something on them lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're, even
they're
if
allowed to come in. So,
okay. Yep. So even if you just love your little fur baby and you don't want to leave them outside, fantastic.
Yeah, we
listeners.
Allow that.
Can you imagine, listeners, being able to bring your fur baby right into the pub? Now, you've got a couple of fires in here too for the colder weather?
Yes, we've got the fireplace there in the bar and we've also got the fire pit out the back.
The back,
which is always on every night in the winter.
And there's a bar out the back too, is that
right? Yeah, an outdoor bar, yes.
Fantastic. Yep. I mean, I can't imagine what more you'd need, folks. Like, you've got great cooking, you've got entertainment, you've got free camping for a couple of nights if you're not using power, and if you want to actually just pass through with the car, you've got some rooms as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Two of the rooms are actually en-suited.
En-suited, yeah.
The rest are just the room, but you've got the toilets on the block here at the back.
Okay.
And showers and a washing machine and all that sort of stuff.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
And your pound sites are only $15 a night, which is, I think, very cheap.
Yeah.
And you haven't got to go anywhere. Once you're here, you're set up, you've got your power, you've got your shower, you've got your toilet, wander in, have a cold beer, and on a Saturday night be entertained.
Yeah, that's right.
So what more could a traveller hope for? And in such an iconic building. It's been here for about 150 years. Listen, I'm going to have to wind this up now. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Do you have a favourite Australian band or singer, Angela?
Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn. All righty. And what about a favourite song?
Neon Moon.
Neon Moon. All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, Angela. It's been a pleasure for us. And we're going to try one of your award-winning pizzas very shortly.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. Well, there you go, listeners. Now, you stick around for Brooks and Dunn's Neon Moon. And straight after that, we're going to be back with more Roman Oz.
When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns blue. There's a rundown bar across the railroad track. I got a table for two way in the back where I sit alone. Think of losing you. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon. Now if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely to watch your broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon. I think of two young lovers running wild and free. I close my eyes and sometimes see you in the shadows.
shadows. This smoke filled room. No telling how many tears I've sat here and cried, or how many lies that I've lied, telling my poor heart. She'll come back someday. Oh, but I'll be all right as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely to watch your broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon moon. Plays on, drink by drink, and the words of every sad song seem to say what I think, and it's hurt inside of me. Ain't never gonna end. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh,
listeners, welcome back. I'm Phil C and this is Roaming Oz, and we are at the Sunrise Cutting Horse Farm, which is about 10 minutes east of Tamworth, and I'm chatting with Diane, who is a full-time traveller on the road. How are you this afternoon, Diane?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. I was really intrigued, firstly, by your rig. Now, you've got a transit van. Tell us a little bit about your van, how you've got it set up and so on.
Well, it's a 2012 transit.
Right. Yep.
It has a double bed at the back, uh-huh. A small kitchen unit. I have an angle fridge. I do have a port-a-loo for if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And my son has put two solars on the top, and so I've got two batteries.
Right.
And he also put, as you can see, the long tube, black tube,
yes,
which
I saw
is
that.
Full of water. Well,
right.
That's my outdoor shower.
Okay.
So no matter where I am, you know, especially if I go to the beach or anything like that, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the puppy gets too much sand, then mm-hmm. I can just, you know, put the hose onto it. And, yeah, it's usually, because it's black, it's usually...
quite warm.
It's fairly warm. It's
yep.
not, you know,
yes.
hot, but it's fairly warm. And
okay.
It's been a really good addition. The first year I didn't have it, and so I used to have to, you know, go into caravan parks and that more often. But now that I've got that,
mm-hmm.
I simply just put up my little change tent at the back.
Yes.
With the doors open, secure it to the sides. And I'm set.
You got a shower wherever
yeah.
you go. Now, you've been travelling full-time. How long have you been on the road?
I've been on the road on and off. I travelled for about 2 to 2.5 years full-time
right.
when I retired.
Uh-huh.
I would go back to... I originally come from Wollongong, and so I would go back to Wollongong, you know, every 3 to 4 months and catch up with my boys. But mainly I was on the road the whole time.
Okay.
And then, of course, with COVID, you know, things changed a little bit. And so I've got a base now at my brother's place, which I have a 1978 renovated 24-foot caravan on the property.
Right.
And so that's my base.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you venture out from there.
Yeah.
So where have you actually been on some of your trip? Well, you've been on the road for 2.5 years. So where have you been? How much of Oz have you seen?
I've been to Queensland only up as far as Noosa. I find that I really don't cope with the heat. And so Queensland's really hot for me. But I've been up to past Noosa, but up twice, and I've done the south coast up and down probably 3 or 4 times, different ways.
Yes.
Been through Victoria, did the coast a couple of times, up through the mountains. I always try, if I go the coast going to a certain place, then I'll go up through the mountains.
Okay.
When I'm coming back. I was in South Australia when COVID hit. So I was on the Mornington Peninsula.
Hey, so we were in South Oz.
Yeah. And I was on my way to Western Australia to start doing, like, the big loop.
Okay.
And, of course, I had to come back. I had to come back into country New South Wales.
I understand. Which we did same, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of a painful experience because we were in South Oz too, and we had to cut our trip short. Now, you are set up for free camping. You've got a fridge, you've got batteries, you've got solar panels. So do you normally stay free camping, or do you prefer caravan parks? What's your sort of ratio of free to caravan parks, or what do you do? Where do you mainly stay?
I mainly free camp.
Okay.
I very rarely will go into a caravan park.
Okay.
Maybe if I've once a fortnight or once every 3 weeks if I need to do some washing.
Okay.
But I normally free camp. I love being out on the road, and I like all those little towns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I try and do is, you know, support the little towns and their communities.
Yes.
So a lot of the, like the pubs and the golf clubs, and that, you can stay there overnight for free.
Okay.
And you just go in and have a meal, you know. So you're sort of supporting the community,
exactly,
which I think is really important.
Yes.
But I also love farm stay. So I'd probably do, you know, 5% caravan parks, another, you know, sort of 50% free camp, and the rest I do farm stays.
Yeah. Now, as a woman, and you've been travelling now solo for 3 years, how do you feel on the road? Do you feel safe at some of these places? Or tell us about your experiences. When you get there, you set up, how do you decide what you're going to do and how long you're going to stay?
Yeah, I've always felt safe. I think the first couple of weeks when I was first taking off,
yeah,
it took me a little while to find my foot and you know, go, okay, I'm all right.
Okay.
But I did a lot of research beforehand, and you know, the rules, I suppose, are I always have the van parked so that I can escape if I need to.
Right.
I never set up anything until I sort of see who's coming. And if I'm not feeling 100%, you've got to go on your gut feeling about it.
Yep, yes.
Then I'll move on.
Okay.
But, you know, most of the time, you know, I think I've only ever once sort of thought, oh, no, you know, I'm going to keep going. But I never leave my awning up at night.
Okay.
I did have a double seat in the front, which I took out and put a single seat in so I can go from the back to the front without having to climb over anything.
Okay.
So, you know, having all of those. And, of course, you know, I have a GPS spot device.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because, like you said, you had a couple of boys. One of the boys has helped you set the truck up. How do they feel about you travelling alone on the road? Do they worry about you? Because you've mentioned the spot device. Now, was that something your boys encouraged you to get, or was that something you just thought, oh, I'm just going to have that just for, yeah, in case?
I guess my boys were a bit anxious in the beginning.
Right.
But the reason why I got the spot device is because my niece is a police officer and she does a lot of hiking and stuff.
Okay.
And she was the one who suggested that I get it.
So just explain to the listeners, what is a spot device for anybody that's never even heard of it? What does a spot device do?
Okay, it's a GPS tracker.
Right.
And so, you know, it goes, it's a satellite device.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't, like if I don't have phone reception, I can still depend on it being able to get through.
Right.
You can set it up. I've got it set up so that I can send a message to both of my sons, my brother and my niece.
Right.
Saying, and my message simply says, I'm awesome.
Okay.
You know, and they know then that I'm fine.
You're happy and safe.
And
yep.
I'm safe.
Yes.
It also, if there's a little, like, footprint, and so if I press that, it then finds my coordinates.
Yes.
And it goes through, and my boys can, they've both got the app on their phone, so they can go and they can see where I am.
Okay.
And because it sits just behind my head, I will just, as I'm driving, I will just drop little footprints every, you know, say hour to 2 hours, depending where I am.
Okay.
So that they can go on the device, on the app, anytime.
Uh-huh.
And know exactly where I am.
Okay.
And know that I'm still moving and I'm all good.
Fantastic. Now, it's not a very expensive device, is it, really?
No, I think I paid probably about $120 for it.
Okay.
And I paid $24 a month. $24 a month.
Right.
I suppose it's just like a mobile phone, isn't it?
Okay.
But it just gives everybody peace of mind.
Okay.
And if I was ever really in trouble, there's a button that goes straight through to emergency services and gives them precisely where I am.
Okay. So is, I guess if for a boatie, it'd be equivalent to an e-perb, where if you're stuck in the ocean, or if you're broken down, or if you're stranded or abandoned out in the middle of nowhere, you can actually press this device.
Yep.
It'll go to the satellite, and if they can't find you or contact you via normal communication, they will assume something's wrong here and come and look for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a great piece of equipment to have. Actually, I think I should possibly consider getting one of those myself, actually. All right. Well, Diane, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. It's been absolutely wonderful to speak to a lady traveller by herself, because we have chatted to lots of different people. And, of course, it's always great to be able to find a female that's travelling alone and find out your experiences. So I'm gonna play you a song now for taking the time to chat with us, and it does have to be Aussie. Do you have an actual favourite Australian singer or band or something like that that you might like to have us play for you?
Well, I love Slim Dusty.
Okay.
And I've got to say, out of all the Australian songs, I love Waltzing Matilda.
Waltzing Matilda by Slim Dusty.
Yeah.
All right, Diane. Well, we're going to put that up for you straight away now. And thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. All right, listeners, now stick around for Slim Dusty's Waltzing Matilda. And straight after that, we will be back with more Roman Oz.
Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree. He sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. He sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. Down came a jumbuck to drink at the billabong. Up jumped the swagman and grabbed him with glee. He sang as he shoved that jumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. He sang as he shoved that jumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Up rode the squatter, mounted on his thoroughbred. Up rode the troopers, one, two, three. With the jolly jumbuck that you got in your tucker bag, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda. The jolly jumbuck that you got in your tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing, you scoundrel, with me. Up jumped the swagman, sprang into the billabong. You'll never take me alive, said he. And his ghost may be heard as you pass by that billabong. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me.
His ghost may be heard as you pass by that billabong.
You'll come a waltzing Matilda with
everybody.
Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me.
His ghost may be heard as you pass by that billabong.
You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me.
Hi, g'day listeners, Phil C here, and this is Roman Oz, and I'm at the Mundi Mundi Bash, and I'm talking to probably one of the most famous vendors here. He goes by the name of Jim Smith, and he's got Jim's Pies, the mobile bakery. How are you going today, Jim?
Yeah, we're going pretty well, mate. We, you know, like to see more customers, but we're going as good as we can. We're getting our share.
Yeah, it's a little bit light on today, but the wind's pretty busy. The festival actually starts today, so I'm pretty sure once this kicks off, you're going to have a lot more customers than you're going to know what to deal with, mate. Tell us about your mobile pie business, because I understand you started baking at what age, Jim?
I started at 13. Uncle gave me a job, and Dad said if you can get an apprenticeship, you're silly at school, so I started my apprenticeship at 13, and that was 69 years ago.
Oh, my God. So you're in your 80s? Your mid-80s or something?
Nearly 83.
And what prompted you to become a mobile baker? Obviously, you must have retired at one stage.
Yeah, we had the bakery in Gundawindi for many years, and I handed it over to the family to run, and Master Bakers Association asked me to come down and coordinate a pie store at the Sydney Show. They run it for their subsidised the apprentices accommodation when they're doing their Brock training down there. And everyone was coming up saying, "Oh, these are great pies. How can we get some? Where can we buy them any other time?" So I come home and decided if we could make a mobile bakery where we could go around to big festivals, we'd have a different food van to everybody else.
Okay.
But we didn't do ourselves a favour, probably calling it a pie van, because we do a lot of bread in the morning, and we do baked potatoes. We got Fiesta Chicken on the show, which is very popular. It's the same as Kentucky Fried. We've got quite a variety of food.
So you're definitely not a pie van. You're actually like a bit of a mobile takeaway, I suppose.
We're a complete mobile bakery with it, yeah.
So I've heard a rumour, Jim. You've got to confirm this for me. Is it true that you're the only mobile bakery in the world?
Yes, that's been confirmed by Guinness Book of Records. They sent us a certificate. through, and as yet no one's been silly enough or game enough to try and build one again.
Well, look, it's interesting that you mention that. Tell us a little bit about the rig. You got two trucks and you got this huge bakery on wheels. So tell us a little bit about the trucks, first of all.
Well, the semi-trail is 38 ton all up.
Mm-hmm.
It folds out to 15 feet wide, and it's 48 foot inside the
Inside the bakery. Okay. And now you got one of those trucks. That's what you carry. It's like a freezing room, isn't it? It keeps all your dry stuff? Or?
The freezer's on the front of the semi-trailer.
Uh-huh.
We can carry a 4-tonne of frozen and a 10-tonne of cold room.
Okay.
And the second truck has a power plant on it that's big enough to run the whole bakery.
Yes.
The small power plant, or we call the small power plant, weighs a tonne and a half. It's on the front truck and it keeps everything frozen while we're travelling.
So it's a power plant that it's like a huge generator that just runs on diesel fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the diesel, the price it is.
Can I say the cost of diesel? Pity you didn't line the entire roof with solar panels.
It wouldn't have given
wouldn't cope with it.
No. Well, the amount of power we use is pretty sudden.
Fair enough. So how long have you had the mobile rig?
It's 5 years old now.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we were just getting known and just getting going when COVID hit.
Yes.
And it sat 2 years in a paddock.
Right.
Without moving, but everything's going again well now and we're back smiling.
Yeah, I can see. You just got a big smile on your face, Jim. Now, what about the cost and the time it would have taken to build something like this?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, like everything else, it went over budget. We thought we were going to be able to handle it, and they allowed 3,500 man hours to build, and it ended up taking 6,700. So we had to go and talk to the bank about that, and they wouldn't lend us a penny because no one else had ever done it, and it was an untried venture.
Interesting.
So we end up had to put the house on the market as
collateral.
Collateral, and the wife has never forgiven me.
Okay. Never forgave you. Oh, but she'd be forgiving you now, surely.
She still worries.
So what? Roughly then, like you said, no bank would give you any money for it.
Yeah.
Roughly, what would it have cost you?
It went to $2.6 million.
Wow. And what were
That's with there's all the most modern bakery equipment inside.
Okay.
We can turn it out 1,000 pies an hour.
Jeez.
We never thought it too well. That I designed it for big festivals and that with 1,000 pies an hour. But we've only got 2 serving points, and the best we can do is about 250 pies an hour that we can serve.
That you can physically serve through.
Yeah.
So what about your staff? Like, I see this young fella here. He's making donuts at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
It's a complete family show. It's myself, my son, and his wife.
Right.
And they're 2 eldest boys.
Okay. So what about your wife? She's not with you here?
Unfortunately, no. She's having a bit of trouble with her legs and everything, and she doesn't travel with us. But she looks after the young fellas that go to school, the son's school.
I understand that. Now, whereabouts have you been? Because obviously you didn't spend $2.5 million to just come to the Birdsville Bash or Monday. Where else do you go?
Well, we've been to quite a few festivals. We've done music in the Mulga, which is one of our favourite places. We love that one, and we do the Thargaminda. We go out to their shearer shindig.
Uh-huh.
We've done Big Red a few times. We've done this here at Monday. This is the second one. We've been to both of them. We did go to Gympie Muster the first year, but unfortunately, our size, they put us down at the back, and we sort of
decided
we wouldn't bother going back there.
Yep.
And we've found that the city places, our footprint is so big that they want absorbent
rent for the sites.
For us to go to the Brisbane exhibition, they wanted $64,000 site fee. So we found that we stick to the west where the size doesn't matter and it's appreciated.
Yeah, I understand. Wow, that's an awful lot of pies there, Jim. $64,000.
You just can't justify it because. No. If you happen to get hot weather and pies aren't selling, yeah.
Yeah, you can't exactly keep them in the oven all day for the next two or three days. They've got to be fresh.
I say that you can sit at home and go broke. You're not going to run around to do it.
I like your thoughts. One other question. You said she weighs 38 tonne, right? Mm. Now, the last time I was at Music in the Mulga, it was wet. The road was wet. It was muddy. Did you have any issues sort of getting in and out with weight getting bogged?
No, it was quite unusual. Carnival that runs it came in a four-wheel drive and took us for a ride down the road to see if we thought we could do it.
Yeah.
And a few caravanners said, we want to go ahead of that truck before he cuts the road up.
Yep.
And she said, no, you don't know this country. She said, that truck will cut a road that you'll be able to stay on.
Okay.
So that's how she let us go first, and then everybody stayed in our wheel tracks.
Good stuff. Now, you've done a lot of festivals, Jim, and you've been doing it for a while. Do you have a favourite?
I shouldn't have favourites, but Music in the Mulga is such a laid-back place. If anyone hasn't really done that, they're missing a great show.
Yeah, yeah.
They have all the artists come around the campfire at night.
I know, it's amazing.
It's a really...
It's very special, isn't it? It's very intimate. It's almost like one big family.
It really is
because of
that. It's small enough to be personal. Everybody gets there. Yeah.
The first time for me, Music in the Mulga was that's just gone this year, and I didn't know much about it, and I was told you got to go to this festival, so I went there, and 100% agree. Like, such a fabulously run outfit. And such a friendly bunch of people. And that, like you said, the artists, at the end of the day, they'll sit around the campfire, play a few tunes. It's like a bunch of mates, really, a big family.
It's different, but we're it was a bit laid back this year with a lot of people couldn't get there with the rain. The road held it, blocked a few roads, but most years she gets about 3,500, 4,000 there, and they're just one happy family.
They sure are. They sure are, mate.
I say it's small enough to be personal. It's not as big as the Mundi or the Big Reds, but it's a great festival, and we like it.
Of all the festivals I've ever been to, Jim, I've got to tell you, it's the most friendliest.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of mates, isn't it?
It is one huge
big family.
Yeah. And she's kept it that way. It's well worth going to.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Mate, I'm going to have to wind this up now. So, first of all, Jim, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. 82 years of age, listeners, Jim's Pies, or Smith's Pies, rather, Jim Smith, and the only mobile bakery in the world.
Yeah, I can check it out as much as I like. Guinness Book of Records have given us certificates, and as yet no one's been game enough or silly enough to try and do it again.
Fantastic. Jim, thank you so much for your time today, mate. Before I wind this up, buddy, I've got to play an Australian song. Who's your favourite Australian artist?
Probably I'm a bit old time. I'll probably be Slim Dusty, and because we're truckies, we like Lights on the Hill.
Good on you, mate. Well, there you go, listeners. That's Jim Smith, and it's Smith's Pies, the only mobile bakery in the world here at Mundi. Stick around for more of Roman Oz straight after Slim Dusty's Lights on the Hill. Thanks again, Jim.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's a long straight road and the engine is deep. I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep, and the long, long roads of my life are a-calling me. These rough old hands are a-glued to the wheel, my eyes full of sand from the way they feel, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough haul from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a star.
coming over the hill are a-blinding me. There's rain on the road, I can feel the load start a-shifting in a dance. Too late I see the post and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh no, the windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding. I can feel the load start a-shifting in a dance. Too late I see the post and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh, oh, oh no, the windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's a-really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me. In the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me.
7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. G'day listeners, Phil C here, this is Roman Oz, and yes, at that time of the program, I know a lot of people are hanging in for this man, wealth of knowledge, Mr. Jeff Diaz from Checkweight. How are you today, Jeff?
I'm going really well, Phil.
It's always a pleasure to find that out, my friend. You're keeping yourself in good health and you're giving us with lots of good information. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I thought that this has happened to a few times to me is over the last few years,
right.
I've been weighing caravans and people are overweight. And, mm-hmm. and they say to me, well, should I buy a Ram or an F-250 Ford or should I buy one of these American trucks?
Right.
And I did write a blog about it about 18 months, 2 years ago, about should I buy a Ram.
Okay.
But it's coming up quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I might talk about that today.
Well, there's becoming more and more popular, these big utes. And as a matter of fact, I have a friend of mine, a personal friend of mine, who follows me around the music festivals and does my photographic work. And he's, in fact, bought himself a new Silverado. Big shout out to Stewie, a good mate of mine. Brand new Silverado, massive-looking monster-type ute. I think it cost him about 150 grand or something. So is this the sort of vehicle we're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, I don't think I've weighed a Silverado yet, so
okay.
Hand on my card to him because mm-hmm. I'd love to weigh one.
mate, I'll let him know. He's in your area, actually. He's got his own mechanical workshop there in Boolaroo, so I will let him know.
Awesome. That'd be good.
Okay.
Okay, so what I thought I'd talk about is, I've had this situation a few times this year,
right.
Is weighed a couple of F-Ford, F-250s and a GMC,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't weighed a Ram for quite a while because I think most Ram owners think they're okay. So I just wanted to talk about there is pitfalls in buying a big American truck. So I'm not saying don't buy one,
right.
Just be aware of the marketing and what the actual truck can actually tow.
Okay, because these things eat utes for breakfast. That's what they tell us on the TV commercials with a 4.5-ton payload and all this type of stuff. So what are the facts and figures?
I think you meant payload. I think you meant towing capacity.
Towing capacity, yeah. Okay.
Because I don't see many of these American trucks with 4.5-ton payload.
Well, I don't watch that much. I'm going to tell you, I don't watch that much commercial TV either. But I do every now and then see one of these things where they have a Nissan Navara and a big F, a Ram or something, and it says, eat utes for breakfast. 4.5-ton towing capacity. Yeah, you're right. So is this the way to go or not?
Look, I think for some people it can be the way to go, but I suppose I just want to highlight to people is just don't believe the marketing.
Right.
Whether it's coming from Ford or Ram or Toyota or, you know, Ford Ranger or anything, you know, Toyota Land Cruiser, just don't believe the marketing. Do your own research and do your own thinking.
Right.
So the issues I see, first of all, with the Rams, the 1500 Ram, you know, is marketed as being able to tow 4.5-ton in some situations. The reality is that they probably can't. They probably can if you're doing a fifth wheeler situation, because, you know, when you put a heavy tow ball of 400 kilos on the back of a vehicle, we've talked about this, you're doing 150% roughly on the rear axle.
Yep.
So, you know, they're big and heavy in the front, and then you hitch them up and now they're big and heavy in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't, you have this big, great storage unit in the back of the ute, which you just can't use because enough payload.
Okay.
The Ram 2500, on the other hand, will never exceed its rear axle weight towed up, hooked up to a caravan. The problem is that most 2500 Rams, that when they're imported, they downgrade the GVM so that it's just a normal light vehicle.
Right.
So in Australia, if you're, especially in New South Wales, if you're driving a vehicle with a GVM of more than 4.5-ton or 4,500 kilograms,
yes,
it then becomes a light rigid vehicle.
That's right, yeah.
And I mean, I believe that this is the same Australia wide, but just check your local state regulations. Me being in New South Wales, that's my focus.
Okay.
So then it becomes a light rigid vehicle, and then it, you know, becomes basically a truck.
Right.
So then you are restricted in that capacity. So when you have for example, a 4490 GVM, then your payload isn't enough to be able to put stuff in the vehicle, fill it with fuel, and have a few people and a big tow ball. So you're in no different situation to a Land Cruiser or another dual cab ute.
Okay.
Because the payload's restricted.
Right.
So be careful. If the 2500 has a restricted GVM, then you'll probably end up exceeding it. I've only weighed a couple of 2500s towing a caravan, and they were both over the 44. Wow.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I recently weighed a Ford F-250 and he bought it secondhand.
Okay.
And same issue with this one. It was downgraded GVM of 4490.
Right.
But when you actually look at the separate axle weights, it was 2,540 on the front and 2,876 on the back.
Okay.
So when you combine that, that gives you like 5.5 tons.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, if you had a GVM of, and he was over a couple of hundred kilos.
Jeez.
But the previous owner had put a big canopy on it, a big set of drawers in the back, which the drawers probably weighed 130 kilos. You know, that were, you know, if you put your drawers in the back of your cruiser or your dual cab, these were double the size.
Wow.
You know, and another big battery and other sort of things. So the previous owner had spent a lot of money and it was decked out. It was really nice. But it's also got a 210, I think it was, litre fuel tank. So that all weighs a lot.
So you're saying that this poor fellow bought this vehicle secondhand, obviously based on its appearance and its extras, i.e. the huge fuel tank and the big drawers and so on and so forth, and when you weighed it, he was overweight?
Yes. So he was overweight when hooked up to the caravan.
Okay.
We weighed it not hooked up to the caravan,
uh-huh.
and he was just under his GVM.
Okay.
And but two extra people in the vehicle, and you know, that's what you got a dual cab for, and he would have been overweight just driving around town.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
So he was just under, you know, not hooked up, but he was just over when he's hooked up to the caravan.
So what does he have to do? What was his scenario? Have to get a GVM upgrade on an F-250?
Well, the GVM upgrade won't be too much of an issue because it's already engineered.
Okay.
So he won't have to spend, you know, money doing suspension and things like that. He just has to get it re-engineered.
Okay.
But then the issue, as I said before, it becomes a light truck. So therefore, you need a light truck license. And, you know, in his situation, that means him and his wife, because you can't just rely on one person to be able to drive the vehicle.
Wow.
And then there will be some weighbridges that you would need to enter. A lot of weighbridges might have a, you know, GVM of anything over 4.5 ton.
Yes.
That you can go down. And that means you have to go into that weighbridge.
Okay.
It also means that you're restricted because it's now a heavy vehicle or a light vehicle, light-heavy vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You're restricted to 100 kilometres an hour even on the highway when not hitched to the caravan.
Okay.
Because the rule for New South Wales, at least, is if a GVM of 4.5 ton or a GCM of 4.5 ton. So he's now 4.5 ton as a single vehicle, so you can't do 100 down the highway. And that's a big issue for a lot of the Ram drivers as well. You know, they don't want to be classed as a light vehicle.
And then you've got the issue too of going from a vehicle to a light truck. Your registration is going to go up considerably. You need to get your license because you can't drive a light truck with your standard car license. Your insurance, your NRMA, because all of a sudden they go, oh, hang on a minute. No, we can't tow you with this vehicle. We're going to have to put you into a different class of NRMA. So everything goes up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure on the exact changes with insurance, but mm-hmm. I would assume, as you did, that, yeah, there would be more costs.
Absolutely.
And there's also some roads that are signposted, you know, they're not for light trucks.
No.
So some, especially city roads, but there is some country roads that, you know, you can't go down if you're more than 4.5 ton. You know, they're specifically excluding trucks from going down those mm-hmm. roads. So now that you're a light truck, it means you may be able to not be able to go down certain roads.
Travel, yeah. So when you said GCM before, now that's your gross combination mass.
Yes.
So, I mean, I won't say most, but what would you say the percentage would be of your average person towing their caravan? Because, you know, if you're talking about, say, the ever-popular 200 series, I mean, they're around about 3,300 as they sit. Oh, no, that's their GVM, isn't it, of the 33?
Yeah. Oh, that only related to your speed limit in New South Wales roads.
No, yeah, but I was you're talking about going through weighbridges. So if you've got a GCM, or your gross combination mass, of more than 4.5, do you have to then go through the weighbridge?
No, only if your GVM is more than 4.5.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Okay.
So, but there's not always, it's a 6-ton or it's an 8-ton limit
yep.
on some of the highway
yes.
things. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I mean, those acronyms, they get to you, don't they?
Oh. Acronyms, look, we've been talking now for I don't know how many shows, and really you deserve a pay rise, if not a pay rise, at least a Christmas present, because we've been chatting about this stuff for a long, long time, and a lot of people still don't fully understand it. They're so confused by the whole thing of, you know, the acronyms, the GCM, the GVM, the TEAR, the this, the that. So I've got to thank you for putting so much time and effort into this program, into this subject, to try and assist people out there. And it's becoming more and more popular by the day. I mean, the amount of caravans that are hitting the roads every single day, and how many people know what they can and can't do. The 100-kilometre speed limit, for example, a lot of people are not aware of that. I mean, we discussed that ages ago about speed limits.
Yeah.
But, they're just not aware. They drive them like they're driving a car with a box trailer behind. And they're doing their 110 everywhere. It's a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them, you know.
It is an issue because, you know, I think, you know, you can just go out and buy a caravan on a car license,
yeah.
which we've discussed before, but it's about self-education. And that's why I'm happy to do these podcasts and interviews with you, Phil, because, you know, my passion is helping people to understand it and to be able to travel safely and legally.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, if the listeners haven't been on our website, go to our website, checkweight.com.au.
Yes.
There's lots of free blog articles there to read.
Yep.
We also have a free report on all the acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an online course, which I've mentioned before.
Yes, you have, yeah.
If you go on the Roman Oz website, there's a link there to that course.
Mm-hmm.
You click on there. It's only $97 and gives you lots of information on the caravan weight acronyms and loading and what to look out for.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Fantastic. I'm glad. And I hope that fellow with the F-250's managed to sort out his situation, because maybe he should have rang you before he bought the rig.
He bought it from Adelaide, so that would have been a bit hard.
Okay.
But yeah, look, he's looking at his options.
Okay.
And I mean, look, and all credit to him, because he got it weighed because he wanted to know.
Yes.
So all credit to him, because he wanted to know what the situation was.
Okay.
Now he'll look at either ripping the drawers out and taking the canopy off, or he'll look at getting the light rigid license. Yeah,
that's the way to go. Because
he's
bought it with all that gear. He's bought it with all that gear. He wants to use it. It'd be easy to do a test and upgrade his license, I think.
Yeah, and hats off to everybody that, you know, gets weighed and is listening here and wants to know their weights, because ultimately the main reason is that you want to travel safe on our roads.
Absolutely. So that's it. Why you should or shouldn't buy an American truck, people. There you go. Think about it. Nothing else to discuss on that one today, Jeff?
No, I think we've covered it all.
All righty. So we got to play you a song. What can it be for this little segment?
I think most people I know think that I'm crazy. Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs.
Okay. All righty. And I think most people that have met me know I'm crazy. So great song selection, Jeff. And I look forward to catching up with you next week.
Terrific. Thanks, Phil. You travel safe and enjoy the road.
And to you, my friend. There you go, listeners. We'll be back with more of Roman Oz straight after Most People I Know Think I'm Crazy, Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs.
Most people I know think that I'm crazy, and I know at times I act a little hasty, but if that's my way, and you should know it, then in every way, help me to show.
most people I know think that I'm crazy. And I know at times I act a little hasty.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or RomanOz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.